This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. If I were to ask for a show of hands of those who've been touched by suicide, chances are very good that most, if not all, of my listeners would respond. Our world is burdened by societal pressures, financial crisis, wars, bullying, broken families, and out-of-control depression. For some, what's been called the permanent solution to a temporary problem seems like the only way out. Our guest today wants to help. Her new book, called Making Peace with Suicide, lifts the taboo surrounding this topic and provides a workable roadmap for survivors struggling to overcome the guilt and grief that is sure to arise after the self-imposed death of someone they love or the attempted self-imposed death of themselves. It includes 7 powerful steps we can take to bring us all back from our own dark door. Dr. Adele Ryan McDowell is a practicing psychotherapist and former crisis hotline responder with more than 30 years' experience helping clients find hope and balance in the face of crisis, trauma, and grief. Dr. McDowell, welcome to HeartWise.
I'm delighted to be here.
Now, first question, why you and why this particular topic?
A colleague of mine on the West Coast, a fellow psychologist, I got a phone call that she had died, and there were a couple of people on the line, and they were hemming and hawing, and she had just turned 65, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And they said, well, we think, we're not sure. And I'd worked on a hotline. I had a suicidal mother. I thought, but here's this woman with all this training, right? And so I ended up writing an article. And then one day I'm at the kitchen sink doing dishes. And you know that little whisper, whether you call it the voice of God or your intuition, that said to me, you need to write a book on suicide. And I went, okay. Now, I thought in my hubris that I could do this book and knock it out in 6 months. Well, that's hilarious because really the gods had to expand my heart and change me. So it was a 3-year process, and that's how I came to it.
Now, Dr. Adele, you say that this woman should have known better. We all should know better. What is it that we're doing wrong when it comes to suicide that is keeping that door open to suicide for so many of us?
Well, that's my idiocy. It wasn't a matter of knowing better. I just thought she might have had better coping skills given her training.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, I think that there are 3 common elements to suicide, because suicide happens for a whole bunch of reasons, right?
Yeah.
And there are 3 common elements. And the first one is pain in any variety, any shape, any form, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, obviously. However, you're tormented, right? There's pain.
Yes.
There is disconnection. You may have loved ones around you, but your perception, which is your reality, you feel alone and disconnected. And the third one I call disenfranchisement, which is disconnection to the nth degree, which means you kind of feel like you're looking at the world with your nose pressed to the glass. There are no tethers. There are no connections. You don't feel of any value or worth. And it leads you to a dark hole. Right, where your thinking becomes tight. You often think in binary ways. People who have been suicidal have said to me, oh, my family would be better off without me. I don't make a difference. I have failed at this. I did something wrong here. We're all so hard on ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the biggest thing that this book taught me was suicide is a lesson of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion for ourselves and compassion for others, because society as a whole seems to judge people who have taken their lives by suicide or family members. Well, couldn't you have stopped it? Didn't you know? Kids go to school and they've lost a family member, and not only do the students not know how to talk to them, but some of their teachers turn away.
Yes.
It's a topic we need to put out on the table, right?
You know, one of the first things that pops into my mind hearing you talk about these 3 areas, the pain, disconnection, and disenfranchisement, is that we are concentrating on ourselves. We are concentrating on our needs, our pain, our disconnection, our disenfranchisement. Is there something right off the bat that we should know that perhaps we should not be so concentrating on ourselves? Would that help at all?
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I'm a big believer that in being of service and having an open, generous, and grateful heart gets us places. But I also believe that if you are one of the 22 who takes your life today, if you are somebody dealing with haywire neurochemistry, that there's some biochemical components, there's some experiential components that come in here. But for the overall, you know, in a big picture point of view, I also believe that suicide speaks to soul loss. And whether it's the combat soldier leaving his or her soul on the battlefield, it's our rushed and hurried lives and how we perceive, again, perceive being the operative word, how we're to be judged and measured if we're a success or not a success. I had a gentleman, this is maybe 15 years ago, and he said to me, oh, you know what, Adele, I can't retire. I don't have enough money. And I said to him, what's not enough money? He said, I have $3 million.
Oh.
I said, excuse me?
You can give it to me. I don't mind.
Yeah, right? Perception is our reality. But I think the soul, our lives are so fast. What does everybody say? You hear this all the time. I hear this all the time. Not enough time to do what I need to do. I experience myself, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
And so in that rushing, you know, I believe connecting with our souls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the soul being, from my perspective, it's that animating life force that we all have within us. It is that certain effinescence and je ne sais quoi that I believe is, my belief system is that it's eternal. And in having our soul fed and nourished and being connected in that way, I think it can get easier. Not for everyone who is suicidal because there are certain parameters, but for many of us, they say that the National Research Foundation says that for every suicide, there are 20 times more attempts, right?
Oh, my.
So we have so many people in a lot of pain. And how do we connect with who we are, remember who we are, and live lives? Do we have time to take in beauty? Do we have time to catch our breath? Do we leave the technology at the door when we walk in? Remember how to have conversations that are not just, hey, will you pick up a quart of milk on the way home from work? There is something that gets missing in how we feed that. Viktor Frankl was a psychiatrist in Austria. He was captured four times during World War II. And as a result of that experience, he was in the German prison camps. He came up with something that he called logotherapy, and logo being the Greek word for place. And the bottom line of his therapy is that nobody can take our insides away from us, you know, that we hold on to that. And for much of the general public, you know, if we hold on to ourselves, if we call back our spirit, that can be helpful. It's not everything. Understand there, obviously, there is severe mental illness and trauma and other things. Suicide is a very big topic. But for those out there, how they can help themselves and how they can help others, one thing is to look at the soul.
Very, very good. We're talking with Adele Ryan McDowell, PhD. She has written a book, Making Peace with Suicide. Dr. Adele, where do you come down on this argument that suicide is the result of a disease or suicide is the result of a brain gone wrong? How do you look at suicide and how should we look at suicide?
Okay, well, I do think that suicide happens for many reasons, right? It's not just one. So we'll use the example of there was an NFL football player. I think the name is Dave Dorson, and he took his life by suicide. Now, he did not shoot himself in the head, as is normal and fairly common with men, actually. But he shot himself in the heart and left a note and said, there is something wrong with my brain. Please have my brain examined by, I believe it was Boston University Medical Center.
Uh-huh.
In doing so, they found all sorts of things called chronic traumatic encephalopathy. What happens is that for people who play combat sports, combat soldiers, and they're seeing this as young as high school kids, that the post-concussion syndrome can, and the chronic traumatic brain injury is cumulative. The brain soft tissue. So like even if you're in a car accident and slam on the brakes and your brain is jostled around in your cranium, you know, you could have an impact. And what happens is that as a result of these brain things, you have tremendous depression and suicidality. So there is a real medical reason for that. People with bipolar, right? We have found that there's some research being done right now that you know, moms, we've seen it on the news. We go, how can a mom take her life and want her kids to die?
Yeah.
Well, we are talking crazy neurochemistry here. And they're working on this premise that for these moms, they have had undiagnosed bipolar, which is a real biochemical imbalance of the brain. And that's a factor in the postpartum and the severe postpartum that leads to suicidality. Mm-hmm. Like the man who said to me, hey, my wife was on medication, and she says to me, hey, I'm going to run to the market and pick up some bananas. And he looked at the kitchen counter and saw the bananas, and he went, oh, something is seriously wrong. And his wife had stopped taking her medication. Mm-hmm. One woman I talked to, I have great stories in the book of people, how they've made it through as family members or how they made it through as someone who was suicidal, right? And one woman, it took her 56 years, I believe, to get the right medication.
My.
56 years. She wasn't diagnosed properly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it sounds like you're saying that there could be a medical or a disease problem here, as well as there could be just simply a mental problem.
Absolutely. You can have a physical, organic, there's certain organic brain diseases,
yes.
And there are even two diseases, cluster headaches and trigeminal neuralgia, that doctors frequently refer to informally as suicide diseases because the pain is so intense.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, more with Adele Ryan McDowell. She is the author of the book Making Peace with Suicide. And when we come back, 7-step method for finding our way back from our own dark door. So stay right where you are.
Dr. James Markham. I want to give you three things today that will help improve your health and change the chemistry of the entire body. The first is drink water. Did you know that 70% of Americans don't drink enough water every day? Sounds easy, so why don't you drink some water? The second is make sure you get enough rest, both a weekly rest as well as a nightly rest. Make sure you break your routine once a week. Maybe turn off the TV or the computer 1 hour earlier every night. The third thing I would suggest is get up and move. Even if you can't get in an exercise program, which I recommend, at least get out of the chair and move around the room every hour. If you'll do these three things, this will change the chemistry of the entire body. Remember, a pill just changes one chemical pathway. To learn more, I want you to go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org.
I'd like to think that one day, when we get to heaven, we're going to see a list of people. People like Jared and Susan, who were introduced to Jesus because of something we said. Or maybe it was as simple as a passing smile. But these people will look into their past and be able to say, I'm here because of you. Recently, you may have heard that Heartwise Ministries has begun spreading the gospel to the young, the old, the sick, and the healthy. We want to take this type of medical programming to the non-believer and the person who has closed themselves off to traditional forms of outreach. If you believe as we do and want to support Heartwise so that together we can count more names on the tree of life, please consider donating today at heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Dr. Adele Ryan McDowell. She is the author of the book Making Peace with Suicide, and we're talking about the fact that suicide is very widespread these days, and there's got to be a reason for that, and Dr. Adele is trying to help people understand some of those reasons. You have 7 steps that you mentioned here in the process of coming back from that trauma or from dealing with that trauma, and the first step you say, Dr. Adele, is tell your story. What's that mean?
Absolutely. When any of us go through something big, we need to tell our story, and we need to get it all out, not with anybody judging or asking questions. We just need to get it out. And I even recommend that if you have the opportunity, you tell your stories three times to three different people. Of course, if it's not possible, then you can write it out or tell a friend in a phone conversation, but you need to get it out, right?
Yes.
Things stay stuck and buried. And in telling our story, we begin the process of movement.
And you say number two, own your part. Can you explain that one for us?
Right, because we need to, you know, is it real or is it not? You know, what really happened here? You know, because sometimes, not sometimes, most times, people who have lost a loved one to suicide, they feel very guilty. If only they had done this, if only they had done that, right? And you have to look at that and see if that's true. And you also have to understand the dynamic that happened between you and your loved one.
Mm.
You know, it's what's real here? What do you need to know? And in owning your own part, also, you're going to be looking at where you need to forgive yourself for perceived or real hurt, and where you need to forgive your loved one for real or perceived hurt.
Okay. And number three, debrief the dark moments. That can be tough.
Yes. Well, this is born out of my work doing critical incident stress debriefing, like with 9/11 and Katrina and all those various things that I've had the great opportunity to help. Suicide is traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's an experience where you're going to grieve a loved one, but it's also very traumatic and often leads to complicated grief. And that's why we have these steps to just kind of, let's open the window, let's air it out, let's really put all the pieces on the table and make sense. And debriefing the dark moments is, okay, what was the worst? It might have been afterwards, it might have been earlier. What was the worst? But I also like to look at, because I like to look at the, along with the dark, let's look at the light. Let's look at the best too, right?
Yes.
So debrief the dark moments of interaction with this loved one that you've lost to suicide, or if you were yourself are feeling that way, the dark moments in your life and what were the best. Not only is that part of owning your part, you need to lay it out there. What was the worst part for me?
You mentioned earlier in the show about losing your soul. And number four step you have, call back your spirit. Can you really do that?
There's a wonderful shamanic story. There's a gentleman named David Chetlahe Paladin, his name. He grew up on a Navajo reservation in Arizona. He and his cousin kept trying to get off the reservation because they thought the white man's world would be better. And about 13 or 14, he's a full-blown alcoholic, and he and his cousin actually make it successfully off the reservation, hitchhike and work their way to California, where they lie about their age and join the Merchant Marine.
Mm-hmm.
This is World War II. The Army says, hey, David, you lied about your age. You have a choice. You can go to jail for a year, or you can come to the Army. He says, absolutely, I'll go into the Army. Mm-hmm. They said, great. You speak Navajo so you can talk in code. He's dropped behind enemy lines. He's captured. He then goes to Dachau. He is in the barracks. And the guard says, who do you think you are, the Christ? And gets a hammer and nails his feet to the floor and makes him extend his hands for 3 days.
Oh, my.
When the Allies go in and free the camp, they find him, 70, 80 pounds, legs not working. He ends up at a VA hospital in Battle Creek, Michigan. He's there in and out of a coma for a couple of years. I don't think he's even 21. They put metal prostheses on his legs that are like what we've seen with polio. And he's supposed to go to a VA home for the rest of his life. And he said, may I go back to the reservation? They said, yes, of course. So he goes back to visit, and the elders gather, and they say, come, Chetlahe, tell us your story. Tell us your story. And so he does, and he tells them about all the horrible things and how angry and furious he is and how could they. And just he was just wild with anger. And they say, okay, tomorrow, 3 o'clock, meet us at the Little Colorado River, and they give him the designated spot. And he hobbles to the spot at 3 o'clock the next day. And one of the elders takes off his prosthetic braces. The other one tethers a rope around his waist. They lift him and they throw him into the fastly moving Little Colorado River. And they say, Chetlahe, call back your spirit or die. Call back your spirit or die. And in those moments, he said it was harder than anything he had to endure. He needed to call back his spirit, or what I might call your soul. And he understood the bigger picture of why certain things happened to him. He managed to get his legs to move. He came out of the Little Colorado River and later went on to do work. He was an artist, and he then went to work with alcoholic priests, doing a lot of recovery work with them. Here was a man who went from being on the left by his mom on the Indian reservation, left. Went through everything, and when the elder said, call back your spirit or die, he was able to do it. I think we humans tend to hold on. We have a hard time with conflict, and we need to call ourselves back and make ourselves whole. We need to say, who am I? You know, go home and write 5 or 10 things where you need to call your spirit back. Mm-hmm. It might be in your interaction with your mother-in-law, or your boss is doing X, or whatever. But where we give ourselves away, we lose our wholeness, we lose our fullness, we lose our integrity, and we need to call our spirits back.
Very good, very good. We're talking with Adele Ryan McDowell. She is the author of the book Making Peace with Suicide. We just have 2 or 3 minutes left in the program. I'm going to go over these rather rapidly. The next step, you say, after call back your spirit is, what are the lessons? How can we learn from such pain?
That's how we all learn, don't we?
Mm.
I learn that way, don't you?
Yeah, I
learn. I look at it and see, what's the bigger picture? Did this teach me a lesson of forgiveness, of compassion? Did this teach me unconditional love? Mm-hmm. I think there are always lessons on what we learn about ourselves or about the world.
And then 6, connect with your loved ones. Sometimes when we are having the feelings we're having, or they know we're having the feelings we're having, it's pretty hard to connect with people that we love. How do we do that?
Well, I say if you can get into a quiet, meditative place and open your heart and connect with them that way and begin a conversation or write in your journal, I believe that they're nearby cheering us on.
All right, very good. And finally, make a commitment to peace. Again, hard to do when your mind is in turmoil. How do you push through the turmoil to decide you want peace?
Well, if you go through these steps and you accept and you forgive and you have compassion and you decide, I don't want to stay mired in the past anymore, then I suggest you can write yourself kind of a little contract or a little vow that says, I'm committed to peace on this topic. I'm not going to lose my life energy anymore on this. I will always love my loved one. That's not the question.
Yeah.
But I will also love myself enough to have a life.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Adele, there may be someone listening to this program right now who has a gun in his or her hand, that this is the last thing they're going to hear before they're taking their solution and they're making it happen. What would you say to that person? This is a crisis time. What would you say to that person right now?
I would say a couple things. One, make yourself safe. Please get safe. Talk to someone. Get yourself to an ER. Insert a pause. And by that, I mean break the trajectory that you're on, and be it through conversation where you can find some hope or some resources. There are 800 numbers, people who are on call 24/7 that you can talk to, National Suicide Hotline. There are ERs. Anyone would be willing to talk to you and hear your story and to offer you some suggestions. Mm. That's what I would say. Let's just put some light and a blessing on everyone who is in a troubled place, so that they can open their hearts and that we can put some light on the darkness, and that they can feel hope and know that they're not alone.
Mm.
All souls are needed and necessary here at this time on the planet, and we want you to stay and to be with us, to know that in the darkness there is light, and to hang on and to have hope.
Oh, amen. That is a beautiful prayer for anyone who is contemplating this. The book is entitled Making Peace with Suicide, a book of hope, understanding, and comfort. And after listening to Dr. McDowell here for the last 30 minutes, we can understand that that is definitely part of the book, because she has brought comfort to us right here in the words that she has said. Dr. Adele Ryan McDowell, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Charles.
And listeners, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Adele Ryan McDowell, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. Heartwise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.